We're the Bungie Kids with plasma pistols glowing. It's our podcast show with Brian and friends
and Frankie.
Live from Bungie Towers, Frank O'Connor.
Welcome back to the Bungie Podcast. This is podcast number 35,1412 or thereabouts. We have a special guest in the studio, but first off, we have Brian Gerard as usual. We have Luke Smith on the mic to my right. And joining us for the first time ever on our left is long-awaited, much-vaunted Paul Bertone, campaign design lead, right?
Yes, it's really great to be here, Frank.
It's a pleasure to have you here. It's good times.
That was totally sardonic and not great to be here since it's Paul's day off.
That's sarcastic.
It means two different things. I love crossing the bridge in Seattle traffic at 5 p.m. just to come over to talk to you guys.
I thought you were coming here for that meeting with Joel.
If you would have showed up a few weeks ago for your first appointment, we would have gotten it over with.
Somebody had to ship the game.
Yeah, and Paul's sick too. So he's basically the Joan of Arc of Bungie Studios.
Yeah, he's been
like
sick for
no
a long
greater
time.
Martyr. So
it's true.
So what does being a campaign mission design lead entail? Let's get right into it.
So it's a pretty big job. Different aspects depending on the phase of the project that we're in. But basically, we deal with everything. Work with the cinematics teams and the writing team to come up with the story, overall arc of the game, and then break that down into different missions. You know, figure out what the chief is going to be doing in each particular mission of the game. And work with Jamie on sandbox, figure out what sandbox elements are going to be in which missions, what the rollout weapons, characters, vehicles going to be across the whole game. That's a big question. Lots of detailed answers in that one. But basically, it's everything. The missions are where the game comes together. So it pretty much involves every aspect of the game and bringing the game together. It's pretty much what it's about.
Is there a particular mission or two or three that you worked on specifically? I know we've talked a lot about Jungle, for example, during E3. We demoed that mission a lot.
Yeah.
We gave you credit back in the day. That was when you were supposed to come on the first time.
Yeah.
when it was a little more relevant. But
it was a little hectic back then.
So we know Sierra 117 was...
That was the only mission I've worked on start to finish as just a mission designer. Hands dirty, scripting the mission, making sure everything's working. Towards the end, I also worked on to set that mission up and then pass it off to Copdahl. And at the very end.
Yeah, we're going to be bleeping out a lot of what you said with some horns, but...
That's fine.
No, it's fine. We'll cut the mission names.
Yeah.
Done.
It's easy.
Let Luke brush up on his Pro Tools skills.
All right, nice.
But so you're definitely responsible for... I don't know what to call it, but I call it the equipment arc. Like, Jamie obviously, works on the sandbox design and what those things are. But when we were doing our demos, it always felt weird to me to say that Savo Highway is the third mission, and it's the first mission where you get vehicles. It sounds really weird. It sounds like you get vehicles late on, but you're in charge of that pacing of the sort of meeting out of the items in the game, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what's the overall philosophy behind that?
Originally... Way back in the day, we actually wanted to start the first mission with the Warthog, just sort of get that iconic Halo experience right off the bat. But as we started crafting the story and building the missions, we decided that it was much better to give to get people used to just being the chief again. We made a big decision at the start of Halo 3, which was this game is all about the chief. You're going to play as the chief. You're not going to play as the Arbiter. So that decision we sort of wanted to really reinforce with the mission design and get people used to just playing the chief again. And you kind of feel a little disconnected when you're in a vehicle. The combat's a little looser. It's a little more wild, a lot more fun, bigger explosions, all that stuff. So we held off to the third mission Originally, Jungle was supposed to be a much shorter mission as well, and it sort of grew into to be a little bit bigger mission than it was supposed to be. So, gameplay wise, we're sort of right around the same amount of time as we had in Halo 1, from when you first pick up the controller until you start controlling the Warthog. So, time wise, it feels pretty good. It's just two missions in.
What about when Frank used to board that Phantom at the pump station? I guess that kind of threw off your plans a little bit, right?
During development, sometimes
we were owning Phantoms with impunity at E3, and then somehow Paul got word that we were kicking ass down there.
I saw the video. I heard you guys were saying, people love when you blow up the Phantom, and I was like, well, we can't have that then.
Can't have people enjoying themselves.
Yeah. Well, actually, God, I think you told me that technically, if resourceful players could probably still down it, but the method that we used to kill it would no longer bring it down.
Yeah, taking down a Phantom with a weapon that sprays bullets was never in the plan. It was actually a bug.
Just freaking good.
But Earth would win
we
then.
Good,
we yeah. But I believe, yeah, exactly, yeah. Covenant build great technology.
we would have beat the Covenant if it for that one Jackal sniper standing on the side of the river like a
not,
jerk.
Not as
there's
bad
two
as,
there now.
Not as bad as taking down Banshees with the pistol in Halo 1. So
yeah, there's something to be said for that.
The pistol is a weapon of skill and grace. I miss it.
Yeah, the pistol took me a skill. Why'd you get rid of it? One of those guys.
We're going to keep Luke upstairs.
Yeah. But in terms of that pacing, so in Jungle, if you start on easy or regular, or normal rather, you don't even get grenades. You don't get grenades unless you play on Heroic, right?
Heroic and Legendary, you get grenades. Yeah. Also, the Covenant don't throw grenades for half the mission on easy or normal. We just wanted to ease people in to the experience this time. It's a much more cinematic experience, the start of the game, and we want... there's just a lot more mission dialogue and just sort of cool vignette experiences that happen in there. So, once the full Halo combat infantry experience happens, it's just chaos. You know, it just breaks out in chaos. And we just wanted to kind of stretch that out and let people get used to the weapons again. You know, we reintroduced the AR for this game, and we wanted people to, you know, fall in love with the AR again. And also, you don't have any human ammo after you start the mission. So we also wanted people to sort of get used to the Covenant weapons, having to pick up weapons, exchange weapons, figure out what the new weapons did. A lot of the weapons have been rebalanced. So, you know,
I did exactly that when I played it. I wasn't even apparent to me.
I was betraying all my buddies to get their ammo.
I was cursing.
That's what we call good design.
I was cursing a lot of grenades, I have to say. I already just to dominate and kick some ass, and it was frustrating. Oh, yeah.
No, you got
to
save your grenades for the
That's what I get for playing on easy, I guess. I just don't, the, I don't know what I'm
yeah,
missing.
Yeah, you can harvest a thing out of that thing and then use that thing
exactly there
you know
go.
What I'm talking about
yeah
it's great,
the grenade harvester, right?
Yeah.
I'm so glad we got that in.
Yeah, I love that.
It was last minute.
I had to instruct and show Frank that you could do that. He didn't know that you could.
I didn't have to resort to such cheap tactics to get to the game.
I'm pretty sure somebody has had to show Frank exactly what to do a lot.
Paul's convinced them the worst campaign player ever. Maybe
just in life in general. I'm not sure.
Well, you mentioned a more cinematic experience, but you know, also what you guys know with the campaign this time is make it a more social and competitive experience. And
yeah, absolutely.
One of the things you personally had a lot to do with was sort of pushing through at the time a crazy notion of four people playing together and the scoring, which I told you I was part of a small group that said it's never going to happen, it's coming on too late, Paul's crazy. And actually I still have that build from way back when. It was, I think it was Frank, Shishka, myself, and I don't recall who the fourth was. We played a really crude version of Sierra 117 with four people over network and it was crazy hard.
I knew I had to get you on board.
No, it was we were hooked immediately, and skeptical but hooked. And obviously, you guys sacked up, and now have this feature.
That was pretty much born out of jealousy from our multiplayer game. I'm not going to lie about it. You know, everybody plays about the multiplayer game. You know, everybody talks about the multiplayer game. Everybody plays it, and you know, 6 months after ship, it's what people are playing, and really. We put so much work into the campaign, you know. We just wanted to try and create that sort of virtual couch experience that we did with Halo 2 and the multiplayer game. bring that into the campaign, you know, stop calling it a single player experience, because it is no longer a single player experience. It's a campaign experience. You can play with up to four players, you know, and there's a lot of depth and replayability in there that we didn't have in Halo 1 or Halo 2. So
And he keeps track of scoring.
I've actually been experimenting a little bit in some of the achievements that we have, maybe that are hypothetically tied to scoring.
They might possibly
they're
be,
just a hair out of grasp for a normal playthrough. I noticed that you guys are real jerks.
Yeah. There, it's balanced for one. We were talking about pretty much everything at this point, right?
Well, I'm doing my heroic playthrough, and it seems like in every case I was just barely shy of the threshold to earn an achievement. When that was with no skulls activated.
Yeah, I thought it was balanced for a heroic playthrough with one skull on.
And okay, I didn't have one skull turned on.
You still have to play well in order to do it. Because I was playing with one in particular on that you thought was a really difficult skull, because you were talking to me.
No, I told you I couldn't find it.
No, you said, go, this is a really hard one. And that was the one I played with.
I said it was hard to get. I didn't say it was hard to play with. Don't try to twist it around.
I don't need to twist it around. I mean, we could just compare achievements.
Maybe
see
you guys spend too much time together.
What are you saying? Are you playing Halo on retail right now?
Not right now. I'm doing a podcast.
I need to go ahead and burn your account there?
It's research. Yeah, I got that email this morning. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just given Luke one more tool to be competitive about, right? So
it's true. You've heard how we've had campaign scoring griefing.
I've heard a little bit. It's definitely a system that is going to be easy to grief. There's no doubt about that. You know, I mean, our AI is not built to be Uber, you know, killing machines.
Have you heard about the trick where you try to steal your buddy's AI passenger as a fuel rod cannon, try to steal him and make him get in your Jeep instead?
Oh, yeah? Nice. There you go.
That's our meta game.
You, like, offer candy?
Yeah, we do.
Brian does, but they still come back to mine because I'm the chief.
I think my favorite grief is still the plasma pistol overcharge, and then your teammate steals your kill with a headshot and gets overcharge.
Nice. And it's common, too. Well. Or headshots off of you after you've done all the hard work is just brutal.
It's easy too. Just never let your friend respawn when they die. Like when Luke dies, I just don't stop. I don't ever take a moment to rest. So he just has to watch me the whole time. And then he hits save and restart from last checkpoint. And,
nice.
We both get a penalty, and then I'm back to score.
Yeah, I mean that's why the team mode was always part of the original spec, but it was something that was thought was going to be really complicated to achieve. You know, a year and a half ago. But thankfully, once people started playing it, because it was a system that came on pretty late. Thankfully, once people started playing, there was enough feedback, and we were able to
Team Elite, dare I say, exactly. The Team Elite feedback might have pushed that over the edge.
It might have.
My
inbox was on fire a couple days when I came in with emails from Luke. I'm not going to lie.
We immediately...
Which was good. I was like, yes, finally someone else can champion this.
We naturally split up into Arbiter and Chief versus the other two elites. And
then you guys crashed your Warthog. And then Frank and I drove to Victory and Triumph and...
I don't recall it.
I think it's a film, right?
Yeah, I think we have a saved film.
I think it's a film somewhere that you said you were going to show the public someday.
Yeah, it's on my DVD camera. I do have it.
Luckily for the public, they're incompatible with the
actually, I'm
version.
Pretty sure that first lip in the tunnel of Savo Highway, I think that jumps a little different now. Because
it is.
All I did was just drive it like I normally would, and it's 2 seconds out of the gate. My Warthog is vertical behind the pipe.
We did some scripting mastery in there to make that a little bit better. Since
it seems harder to flip now.
Since
like
we couldn't
initially.
Change the Warthog at the end there.
Well, so. I was trying to demo the AI for your second vehicle. You know, if you roll it, your Marines will reflip
Turn it
over, and drive
yeah.
away. And I could not flip it on purpose. Like, I mean, you can flip it on by accident by doing anything. And I tried for like 65 seconds of going over berms and jumps and bouncing into walls. I couldn't flip it. Eventually, like, I tried to turn around to get a better run-up, and I flipped it by accident.
One thing I noticed, I was, you know, looking through some screenshots today, and I noticed that there's no screenshots of campaign scoring out there. We should get some out there so people can see the...
We definitely took some.
Sure.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's plenty out there. In fact, Luke could probably go pull one right now after the show and
post
it.
The problem is they tend to typically be quite clean so that you can actually see what the scores are. So probably, you know, magazines, when they're going through them and picking them, are just like, oh, we won't use this one because there isn't much going on. They're missing the clarity of that. But we're sticking some stuff on BNet soon that will help explain that more. So.
Cool. You guys had any internal competition about just see who can get the highest score?
There might be some stuff going on. I'm sure the testers do that all the time. I pretty much haven't been in the office since I finished, so I'm not sure, but... you know, once we get back from New Zealand, I plan to spend a little bit of time.
It reminds me of stealing food and gold from your buddies in Gauntlet. You know, you just race to the edge of the screen to grab their stuff. But
I keep hearing about the legend, Luke. I want to, you know, I might have to sit down and watch him play, see what he's all about.
You've never seen a Luke's playthrough before?
Never seen any of Luke's playthroughs.
Yeah.
I do all right.
Yeah. Well, you can buy them all soon, coming to DVD.
Yeah, you'll actually just have to PayPal me the money.
Luke, right. Luke, you don't play with enough drama, though, I heard.
I've been told that I don't play. No, you didn't play with enough drama. No, I don't play with enough situational awareness.
Luke doesn't know how to play when it comes to like taking screenshots and making films like that, because he can't stop killing everything.
We're like, why are your screenshots empty? He's like, I killed everything.
Nice.
That's true.
Look at how badass the chief looks in this shot.
Yeah, look at me standing among corpses. Yeah,
I'd like to see a showdown, scoring showdown between Luke and Paul through Sierra 117, start to finish on Legendary.
That'd be a fun film to do and put up.
It would.
Maybe
like Bungie recommends content there.
Yeah. I mean, I have most of them unlocked already. So.
Oh, you do?
Hey, yeah. How many do you have, Brian? I've been hunting.
I've been hunting that website internally
with a map of
I don't even know where it is. You sent me that website, and I was like, what are you doing, you cheater?
How come you found all those skulls shortly after you got back from your meeting with the Prima guys about the piggyback
They didn't find. They found like three, I thought.
I think they showed you where those were, didn't they? Didn't they walk you through the game and show you how to beat it?
No, Chris Opdahl told me where some of them were. He's the betrayer of secrets.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we're gonna have to shut Opdahl down.
Yeah,
Paul's right. There are no first person screenshots on Bungie.net that have any scoring HUD being displayed.
Got to get that out there.
That'll be
I heard Radio Shack
shortly.
Has like 1,000 screenshots up now. By the way,
yeah,
so.
I saw that. They have 75. Nice.
I think they do actually, and apparently half of them have never been seen before.
Yeah, I don't know where they came from.
I don't know where those came
you
from.
You can buy games at Radio Shack.
Yeah,
you can buy Halo 3 at Radio Shack.
Halo 3. At
hey,
Radio
speaking
Shack.
Of, I went to 7-Eleven over the weekend. I don't know if you guys have been in yet, but all the Slurpee cups are there now.
Right.
And the bags of Doritos are there.
Did you collect them all?
I did.
And the Mountain Dew.
So
I'm not a fan of Gamer Fuel personally.
No.
I mean, I love Mountain Dew, the company and the corporate sponsors that they are, but I'm not a fan of Gamer Fuel myself.
I can drink full crazy fat super sugar soda anyway.
No, there's no sugar in Gamer Fuel.
I want to make a diet one.
It's sugar free.
No, really? Yeah. There's no caffeine in it either, right?
I give it to my daughter every night before bed. Sweet. She sleeps like a log.
I tasted it, though. I thought it tasted good.
It tastes
Chris,
a little
Chris
syrupy
Butcher
to me.
Is a huge fan.
I saw that.
All right. Yeah. We've got Paul here, and we're talking about Mountain Dew.
That's true. And we could be talking about how awesome Don Matrick is, but no.
Paul does the Dew. Paul, I mean, Dew's extreme. Paul's extreme. There's a connection there.
Yeah. Paul, you snowboarded in here or wakeboarded in here, right?
Yes. I snowboarded in the rain.
What's
today?
Parachute boarding?
Is that a thing?
A parasailed in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of the things.
Awesome.
So one of the things that I want to know is, and I'm sure that other people out there want to know, levels start off pretty much. How's a level built from start to finish? At Bungie, at least.
Right. So we'll you know make all the high level decisions what the mission is going to be about, and I'll just use Sierra 117 as a context. So you know we pick the theme of the mission. It's going to be in a jungle. It's going to be the chief. There's not going to be any vehicles. It's going to be just the basic Covenant. Brute, Grunt, Jackal, and introduce the Brute Chieftain at the end. We spend a lot of time thinking of what the intermission fictional arc is going to be. So there's a little story in 117. It's basically about Johnson. He's sort of with you at the start, and then he leaves you, and then he gets captured, and then you have to rescue him. That has nothing to do with the big fiction of the game, the overall fiction of the game, but it creates some interesting moments that make you have to pay attention to more than just the combat. So we make all those high level decisions, then we start building the geometry, you know, thinking what kind of views do we want to capture. You know, we got Kilimanjaro in the background, so we did some early concepts of that. One of our environment artists, Vic, did a really great concept of just a small space of like, this is what a jungle needs to look like in our engine. He did that, I mean, two and a half years ago or something. And we pretty much took that and that was what we tried to achieve. So we had, you know, the graphics guys looked at it and said, wow, that's way more foliage than we've ever done before. What are the new systems that we have to create to achieve that? And you know, we have dynamic foliage this time, so as you run through it, it actually moves. And that was a, you know, brand new system that we built. And then gameplay wise you start thinking about, well, what am I going to introduce first? You know, first the chief and the AR, and he has a pistol. And then you play a couple encounters, the the Covenant have spike rifles and plasma pistols, you know, so you get people used to using the basics. You know, you start out with all the basics, and then you start layering some stuff on that. Later on, you get jackals with carbines. You know, on the higher difficulties, you have jackals with beam rifles. And then you start off with encounters with small numbers of characters. You know, the first couple encounters on normal have, I think, four characters, and then eight characters, and then and then 16 characters, just to get people, you know, easing in. And also, Sierra 117 is the first mission of the game, so we take a lot of care. Our first hour of gameplay experience is really important. That's the hour that we hook people, and if we miss that, then a lot of people just put down the game, you know. So it's intentionally on easy and normal, it's intentionally easy for just to sort of suck people in. You know, if you're looking for a challenge, heroic or legendary is the way to go. But, you know, once we sort of make all those lower level decisions, you know, you start building encounters, and you start iterating on encounters, and you start playtesting the missions. And, you know, Microsoft Usability is great for that. We started playtesting missions over a year ago, much sooner than we've ever done before, which has been great. So we got to, you know, polish out all the really rough edges, and then, you know, put back in some of those really hard encounter, like spikes, you know, like jackal snipers in places you wouldn't expect them, and just the kind of things that people don't expect, so it's not sort of the same homogeneous experience through the whole mission. So
what do you think separates a good mission from a bad mission, or what changes between a good mission and a great mission?
I think sort of there's a lot of mission designer can do from encounter to encounter to sort of re-engage players, to get them to think about what they're going to do. A lot of it is the space design. Is the space just interesting to traverse? Is it, you know, does the AI use the space well? I think poor mission design, I think, is maybe more like poor mission execution. You know, if you don't have enough time to playtest your encounters, you don't have enough time to iterate over things, to figure out what's working and what's not working. When we first build a mission, we typically throw everything into an encounter. We kind of build it out for heroic and legendary, because it's much easier to take stuff out of a mission than it is to say, oh my God, this mission is not very good. What do we have to add to it? You know, we try and build it as great as it can, and then it's much easier to take out four or five guys to make it easier on easy and normal than it is to, you know, pull your hair out at the last minute and you know, risk shipping something that's not as good. But the question, what makes a good mission and what makes a bad mission, I think is just the good missions on an encounter-to-encounter basis have fiction, high-level fiction, sort of the low-level mission fiction, and then each encounter has a little story that it's going to tell. You know, it has a nice little start to it. You know, maybe a lull in the middle, some reinforcements that come in a cool way. It's not just the same thing. So it sort of gives people something to look at and understand, talk about, think about after they finish playing an encounter, as opposed to just wanting to run to the next space and kill the next, you know, group of aliens and move on to the next space. You know, it's good missions have everything. They have great visuals, great combat, great fiction. Any one of those things, you take any one of those things out and you don't have a great mission. You take more than one of those things out of a mission and you run the risk of just not having a very fun mission to play.
What was your favorite Halo 1 mission?
I like the missions I did.
What for those?
Is that biased? I did Truth and Reconciliation and Assault on the Control Room.
That's good stuff.
Oh, no.
Nice track record.
Yeah, you could have come in here with the library, but no.
No, we had the library. And then that's Tyson, right?
Jamie and I split the flood. I did a lot of the groundwork on the flood, and then he came in at the end, just because Assault on the Control Room ended up to be just a much bigger mission production wise. It's just this gigantic mission, had like 40 something encounters to build in it, and there's just no time for me to do anything else other than work on that one.
And Truth and Reconciliation is one of the missions that people remember. I mean, it's totally iconic, the nighttime sniper insertion.
Yeah. I think that mission, you know, it's we've changed our process a lot. We do a lot more usability testing now, and that mission is maybe one that might not actually exist in the way that it existed, just because it's a really hard mission. In on heroic and legendary, it's a really hard mission. But I think it's one of those, it's that level of hard that's actually challenging, you know, and people don't mind. You know, when they go up the gravity lift and get in that first room in the ship, they don't mind dying
over
the 100 plus times they die on Legendary in order to get it right, because it's actually challenging in a fun way, not challenging in a frustrating way. So, you know, that's also one of the things we try and look for. You know, is this challenging in a fun way, or is it challenging in a just, you know, frustrating way? I think we in Halo 3 we end the game in a very challenging, fun way that if you die in this cool way. There's always some great explosion that happens, and then you're just right back at it, and you don't mind it too much. That's sort of a cool core Halo philosophy, anyway. But at the end of this game, we definitely do a good job of doing that.
So we're doing a lot of testing with I'd call expert players. I mean, and they're finishing the game in, you know, equivalent times to Halo 1 and Halo 2, you know, 10 plus hours or whatever, you know. But what do you say to people who've never played any Halo game before? What do we do in Halo 3 to make it accessible to them? Do you need to be an expert player to enjoy Halo 3?
Absolutely not. That's where all the usability comes in. We have a much more robust help system now that tries its best to figure out what you're trying to do. And if you continue to fail at it, then it'll give you a little help message that says, hey, you know, exchange weapons, you know, hold the right bumper button or change weapons by pressing Y. I think just the pacing of the missions themselves lend to getting people hooked. And then if they get to a spot that's kind of rough, you know, they're kind of invested. There's some certain amount of time where once people are invested in something, they're not going to give up on it. You know what I mean? And once you pass that threshold, then you can kind of
ramp it up a bit.
Yeah, and then you can ramp it up a bit and kind of do some nasty stuff. And those are the moments that ultimately people end up talking about is the spots that they got stuck in because there's a jackal sniper in a tree that's really hard to hit, and he's got pinpoint accuracy, and every time you stick your head out, you're dead.
That's what co-op's for, right? Yeah, Luke, go stick your head out.
Yeah, and then I'll get the kill and get the points, and you'll stay behind and continue to lose. There used to be a jackal sniper across the river that was actually almost impossible to ping with the BR.
Yeah, he got taken out.
He was
out.
A monster.
That was the one that was an example of a little spot that was frustrating and not a fun way. You know, there are some of them that are over there that are easier to hit, and when you get hit by them, then you know where they are, and they're easier to shoot. But when you're getting hit by a sniper and you have no weapons to deal with them, that's just not a fun experience. You know,
the worst thing about them is they're like, so they appear in unpredictable places depending on your difficulty, right? They don't always appear in the same place.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep, that is correct.
Every time, which gives it replay value, but there's times where you'll go into that exact encounter and you think you see him and you take a couple of shots and you think he dropped, and then, you know, you concentrate on the phantom coming in or whatever, and then you work your way around the encounter, and now you're fighting the brutes, and they're throwing down equipment, and you beat all the brutes, and then you think everything's cool, and ping, you get sniped by a jackal that you totally you thought you'd killed him, hadn't killed him, he's still there waiting for you to get around that crescent.
Just sounds like somebody's not really paying attention to what they're doing.
That's a big part of why I like to play with scoring on, though, too, because in situations like that, I mean, I'm watching scoring in the lower corner to see when I'm getting that kill, hitting the headshot.
He'll take cover. That's the problem. Like, he'll duck behind a tree, and you think he fell down. You know, in the heat of battle, you think you got him, and he fell in the river. And in fact, he's just hiding behind a stump waiting for you to...
Just lying in wait.
Yeah, jackal snipers have a lot more vitality than normal jackals as well, so...
Well, I found the first thing I realized is don't shoot for their... they have this purple night vision sight, right? Yeah. That's a clue to where they are. It's a clue to where its head is. And the temptation is to shoot that, but don't, like, shoot above it. Like, their head is above that sight. Their brains are up here, so...
Brian, are you still with us? You've been super quiet today.
Yes, I'm still here.
He's sending some
beer.
Email.
I'm just not. Yeah, yeah, we are.
Oh yeah, we're wasting no beer. What the hell?
Well, because everybody else is through working, so the power's turned off, the snacks are gone, the beer's gone.
No free breakfast.
No,
it's like a ghost town.
Everything's shut down.
They finally figured out what constituted the perfect breakfast, and now it's gone.
Which is what?
Well, remember, sometimes you'd come in and there'd be like fruit and muesli and whatever. No. And then eventually it was just sausage sandwiches every morning.
with the double sausage patty.
That was good times. And then
that's been good 12 pounds of weight for me during crunch. That and starting to drink beer at like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Well, it's all gone now.
Well, we miss it.
Halo 3 was built on many beers
and sausage.
You had a fair amount of beer and pork products over in Germany there as well.
You guys were in Leipzig,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
You're in Bertone.
It was a great show. Grueling
glamorous
pace.
Nothing
but glamour.
I mean, we were red carpet treatment.
Treatment right from the airport to the show, right to work.
Right. I heard it was awesome. Like nothing. It was like every female in Leipzig is like St. Pauli girl.
Exactly.
And they have like two like foaming tankards of ale. And
they were bringing me beer.
You got your
all
wish.
Day.
You signed a shirt.
I did. I signed a shirt. I signed
a girl shirt.
I signed no.
A shirt.
There's a shirt. Why you got to dig deeper than that?
Being worn by a human being.
Just leave it where it is. I signed a shirt. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. You can imagine whatever you like was in that shirt.
The fans over there are great. They're great.
Yeah. They were hardcore, man.
They're hardcore.
We met some guys that run a whole website called Bungie.de. It's a whole huge Bungie community, and then we met a whole bunch of hardcore gamers that are part of like MLG.
MLG Deutsche.
Seriously.
And just so everybody knows, officially, Brian and I whipped him.
Brian said he played like some of the greatest Halo of his life.
It was true. You'd be surprised. And what else did I? The other thing we had going for us was this whole like sensory immersion, which in retrospect was brilliant. I don't know if they planned it this way, but we're playing Sandtrap in a 100-degree tent in sweltering heat and humidity.
I really felt like I was there.
Me too. I had sweat dripping down my pants and all down my face. I couldn't even see. I had so much water in my face.
I had sweat dripping from my head all the way down to my ankles.
It really added to the immersion. I think
You guys are like the David Hasselhoffs of the German
professional gaming scene. We were thinking about releasing a rock video because that's our next step.
I told you the first night there is when Paul and Chris Opdahl were doing a campaign demo for some press
we give great demos.
The
reaction of the fans over there is
like an hour and 45 minutes later I come and walk over and they're still doing their demo.
Some people might have fallen asleep, I'm not sure. you get into playing a mission, you know, and it's really hard to talk about what you're doing.
Dead silence. Everyone's just standing there eyes glued on the screen.
We definitely could have used Brian just sort of in the background as
commentating.
Commentating.
You guys only died like two or three times though. The best was it was just silent. It was almost an hour into it, and all of a sudden Paul's like, ready to finish this thing, Chris?
And then
let's
Chris,
do it, Paul.
And then Chris died. No, that was great.
And bumps.
Were you like Ace and Gary?
Oh man, it was tough. Like, and then there was no reaction from anybody. And then we get down there, and Chris just like runs out in the middle and dies. And it's like, oh, okay, back to the checkpoint.
Oh, wait, remember the best part though? So they spent like a grueling hour doing the demo, and then people played multiplayer for a while, and then at the end, everybody's like crowded around. I'm doing the replay of their demo. It's a massive fanfare and applause.
Yeah.
They watched it again?
Not the whole thing.
It was
the
highlight.
It must have been like Groundhog Day.
That was crap.
I got mad camera skills after doing all these film demos. You can really put together a nice little
That one Sandtrap movie, like if there's a pixel going on in that level that we don't know about, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I honestly, it was a long week. It was cool, but destroying people on Sandtrap for like 3 or 4 straight hours was
Brian. Put a blurb about Brian and I did a little griefing. We can let that out now, right?
I don't deny.
We took Sandtrap. We went into Forge.
We were outnumbered 14-2. It's okay if we want to take out every enemy vehicle before the match starts. What's wrong with that?
A couple extra tanks, you know, a couple extra heavy weapons.
Actually, it was the world exclusive hands-on premiere of Sketch Trap.
Sketch Trap,
And you guys were Brian, Team Pink, and then I'm like,
Brian actually got an invincible. Yeah. There was many a Killtrocity, Killtacular.
30-something plus kills in a row without being killed myself.
Invincible,
It was amazing.
On the map that you created. And
then I started thinking about...
Outfitted with garbage.
Look, I almost was going to add a special custom power-up with a player trait for the team in the lead to have extra damage, speed, jumps. Yeah.
We decided if we ever fell behind that it would be too hard.
And then out of context, you'd have these people playing Halo 3 for the first time. Like, why is this game run 300% faster? What the hell's going on? And then Tyson and Lars would get reports back that Sandtrap is a complete mess of vehicles and explosions and isn't balanced at all.
So we were thinking about those guys, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We were thinking about those guys.
Yeah. It was fun. And actually, the fans seemed to have no problem being destroyed by us.
And it definitely made time go by a lot faster.
So while you guys were munching on sausage and cavorting with some
actually, I think I only ate two hot dogs while I was over there. Yeah,
the long, skinny kind.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
The obscene looking. You know,
they're weird. Well,
what you were having a pie and mash and bangers and chips.
Well, after Chris Opdahl, who was with Paul and.
I noticed he didn't come back with the faux hawk. What happened with that? We had a whole plan.
Yeah, what was the faux hawk story?
The last night we went out drinking, and Chris has this sort of, I don't know how you describe it, maybe sort of like
gentlemanly,
leave it to Beaver kind of hairstyle, maybe.
I don't know what that means, except I think I do.
I think it's correct. Yeah, I think that's the right way to describe it.
We're thinking if Chris is going to be doing all this PR for us, you know, and he's going to get out there and he's going to go, you know, all the famous soccer players, they all sport the faux hawk.
Yep. Let's be fair. Even our European friends will admit half of Europe has a faux hawk right now.
You'd look good in a faux hawk, Frank.
Mine would be totally faux, though, right? It'd just be like some sort of animal.
Actually, you could do the reverse faux hawk.
I could have a full-on Vivian from the Young Ones, a triple faux hawk. I could pull that off.
Yeah. That would definitely look nice.
So he said he was going to come back with one, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know what? And I was just talking to him downstairs, and he was like, we were just recalling that night, and he admitted that at some point during the night he blacked out. So maybe he's trying to say, I blacked out, and then we started talking about the faux hawk.
Oh, so it doesn't count?
Yeah.
So like a weak bet with a non-final, non-permanent, silly haircut, he backed out of that based on...
I think you just offended a whole like continent.
I don't think I did.
He's from around there. It's like the same thing.
I'm from Europe. I can say.
You'd be surprised
how
quickly Opdahl was assimilated, though. Even by the second day, really? He's going around humming Eurobeats all day.
Yeah, he was.
He really got into it.
You know, it's hard to sleep at night when you got the Eurobeats in your head.
That's true. The Eurobeats really is a thing.
You're laying there and your foot starts tapping in your leg.
But the best part was at like 8 p.m. when the Halo 3 The Ride was shut down, it would go from Eurobeats to like super loud, obnoxious polka music to just drive everybody away.
Oh, man.
Are you totally serious?
Yeah.
We're waiting for the technician to come and unlock the boxes so we can take the hard drives and leave. And all polka of a sudden, music. This polka just starts blaring.
Nothing will give you a headache faster than polka.
So what was the music like at your swanky...
you were in London,
plush
right?
Plush hotel.
I heard Opdahl was, in the hotel in bed by like 6 p.m. or something
like that? Yeah, he went to bed super early while we were there.
It's that last night in Leipzig. The last morning in Leipzig really must have put a toll on him.
Yeah. There wasn't really music. I guess it was just a lot of Oasis.
Really?
They just played What's the Story, Morning Glory, and then they didn't play the third one. It was just like they made sure to do the B-sides for What's the Story, Morning Glory. It was just all Gallagher brothers all the time.
They do play less Eurobeats in the UK, though, I will say that.
No, I'm serious. Every time I got in a cab, I heard an Oasis song. Yep. I'm not joking. Wow. It was always like the old ones.
For me, it was Lily Allen.
Sorry, we had to put you through that.
Yep. It was okay.
But you guys played through the whole game in a hotel suite over like 2 days, right?
Yeah, there were 22 or 23 European journalists, one from each country or something that was invited, and they all had their own stations in a big room that we intended to use for multiplayer. Right. But as the press sort of trickled in during the day, they ended up starting their campaign there, and we were just going to let them take their hard drives to their room where we'd outfitted each of their rooms with a pretty elaborate setup and 5.1 headphones and everything so they could have an optimum experience. Well, what happened was they didn't move. Like, once they sat down and started playing, like, it was literally until dinner that they just, no one moved, no one talked. The entire room was silent other than, like, Chris and I standing at the back of the room talking.
No one wearing headphones, so it's like eerie silence.
Yeah, it's that creepy
kind of... Like when we had that event here, and then out of the blue, someone just ripped a huge fart.
Yeah, they didn't know, because they're like, they think they're in the heat of battle, but really they're in the heat of
someone you meet, you mean Frank?
No, we actually know who it was.
We know who it was.
Oh, yeah?
They can't say who it was.
Come on.
Is it Red?
No. Let's not go there.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Britain, where you were.
Nobody really listens to these podcasts anyways, you can tell us.
Dude, haven't you seen the iTunes ranks?
It's like number three in games and hobbies.
Two. Is it?
Yeah.
Who's number one?
Wait, don't tell me.
Those NPR slime, they're going down. I'm telling you.
A Bungie listener said that what we should do is start playing music at the interludes and asking for money, and our ratings would go up.
I don't mind Click and Clank. The Tappet Brothers beating us from a car talk, but I will not stand for wait, don't tell me.
What are you going to do about that, Frank? Tell us.
If only that Time magazine article would have pimped the podcast or Entertainment Weekly.
All
they had
to do
is
mention it once.
Not enough promotion.
Maybe people just don't know about it.
We got to energize the Halo Nation to destroy those do-gooders at NPR, trying to educate people and make them think about stuff. It's crap. They're going down. Let's talk about skulls.
So, skulls, while we were there, I only saw one player find a skull. Like, I checked their profiles, and of course, after they were playing through the game, before they retired to their rooms for the night, I saved everyone's film to their boxes so that they could go and watch all their campaign films that night. And I did a pretty elaborate demo of the fourth mission in the game that I just played through randomly while I was sitting there waiting, and showed them that and showed them saved films. And then one guy found the skull from the final mission of the game, and that was the only skull that anyone seemed to find on their own.
That's the one that's...
that's the one that I really, really, yeah. really like.
That yeah, I'm but that one's, much need that one's actually pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, you probably won't find it your first playthrough, but once you're looking for them, once you go back, that one's pretty easy to find when you're looking in those yeah. corners.
You know, it's helpful. Watching your film's a great way to find skulls.
Yeah.
Because I thought I knew where a skull was, and I'm like, huh, it should be here. Watch the film, and I learned something.
There might be six people that remember skulls from Halo 2, maybe.
No, everyone remembers
not,
them.
Not the most promoted feature.
They were so perfectly seamlessly integrated into the campaign experience.
Yeah, one in seven appearance of that would have been your daddy's skull.
We were banking on them to be the huge thing. No, we weren't.
well, they function completely
didn't
differently.
You say, skulls, they were just crammed in last minute?
Skulls were crammed in last minute, and you had to... They were only available on Legendary, and once you turned off your Xbox,
they were gone.
And but they were this really great thing that adds just a lot of replay value. And
well, my Xbox at home is still running. I haven't turned it off yet.
Excellent.
Because you want to keep your
two and a half years. I'm working on getting all the skulls.
Has it burned through the carpet yet?
No, not yet.
Hasn't lit your house on fire?
No.
That was an isolated incident. Yeah. There's no evidence to support the contrary.
Yeah, it was this great thing, and we just wanted to make it easier, more persistent, and just allow players to have fun with it, you know. And we want to take it something that was for the ultra elite hardcore fans, and just let everybody play with it on all difficulties. And you know, it's built right into the UI now, which is great. And we had a lot of plans where you had to beat the campaign completely before you could find them, and we just backed off all that stuff because. Well, a lot of people honestly just don't beat the campaign, you know.
Well,
but
the percentages would baffle people if they saw how few people even complete a normal game of campaign.
Yeah, it's right around 10%. Most games are under 10%.
Yep,
under 10% of people that buy your game will finish it. And you know, it's just the same thing with campaign scoring. It was going to be a feature that you had to beat the campaign to turn on, but it's a hard enough feature to learn about as it is. It just didn't seem like a good idea to hide that from people. You know, we want to promote it, get it out there, get people playing it, because it's going to be one of those features that make people play the game more. So
are you playing anything else? Are you playing other people's games?
Like I'm gonna start playing some BioShock tonight. It was my goal after I got back from Germany to start playing BioShock, but I had like 6 minutes of time to myself in the last week, so I'm looking forward to playing some BioShock.
I've seen Luke playing a lot of BioShock.
Yeah, I'm actually I'm pretty much at the end. So once you're done, we should talk about.
I got a sealed copy. I haven't even opened it yet.
Same with mine.
I was gonna play it, but I got distracted.
Yeah, you got distracted. What'd you get distracted by? 9 hours of it on Saturday.
What? Blue Dragon.
You played so much Blue Dragon, and you set your appearance to appear offline so no one could see.
Yeah.
Well, that was because I was playing something else too that I had to appear offline for.
Yeah. How convenient that also made you invisible while you were churning through an RPG the whole weekend.
I like that game. I think it's pretty cool.
Beautiful.
A review about how it plays awesome like an RPG from the early 90s. And honestly, I don't think I've played an RPG since early 90s, so it felt
perfect right
to me.
Yeah.
Exactly what I remember those games used to be like.
Yeah, I can't do it. I think it looks beautiful and I want to play
eventually
it.
You're going to want to skip a bunch of the little animated scenes and segments, and you can't.
Well,
that's
RPGs,
the best thing about all RPGs.
After like the 1 millionth celebration animation. Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, you have the RPGs.
No, I'm too cool.
That maybe a game or two of Madden, you know. I'm undefeated in my season right now.
I haven't picked up Madden yet. Is it good?
It's the best Madden ever.
60 frames a second.
I got disenfranchised
with that series over the past 2 years, and this is the Madden they always wanted to make.
All right, I'm gonna go pick it up today.
So fitting into their trilogy.
The defensive.
Does it complete the story arc of John Madden and the pies?
It does.
The defensive turnovers are a little bit too, like, there's a few too many fumbles, and it's a little too easy to throw interceptions sometimes. But otherwise,
I haven't had that problem.
When's your season start?
You're playing on
laser accuracy. I'm just kidding. What is that?
When's regular season football start?
After this show's out.
This weekend.
Really soon.
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. It's Colts Saints.
Come on. We got a Halo event
Patriots
coming up.
Patriots versus Jets.
With some NFL players, actually.
Who?
Who? Yeah.
Team that's going to win the Super Bowl this
what?
Year.
Did you say, who did you say?
Patriots.
You're a Patriots fan? Man.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in New England.
Wow.
New England, where is that state?
Yeah.
I would have totally canceled your appearance. I would have canceled Bertone if I knew he was a Patriots fan. I hate the Patriots.
That's too bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I wish we could pull in New England and just be like the West Coast Awesomeites.
Brady,
like
them, just win every other. Brady to Moss. Brady to Moss. Get used to hearing that.
How much,
Brady to Stallworth.
Hey, how many plays did Moss play in the preseason?
He does.
How many times did he practice?
He is a professional.
What's the Randy ratio going to be this season? We should do a sports podcast.
He's going to catch 90. No, he's going to catch 90 passes this season. 1,100 yards, 20 touchdowns.
You want to bet $20 on that?
I'll bet $20 on that.
You heard it here, folks.
90. You said 90 catches, 1,100 yards, 20 touchdowns.
Yep.
Mooser gets a faux hawk.
That is a reasonable bet. $20 is nothing. That's a reasonable bet. Loser gets a faux hawk.
Not taking that bet.
Come on, it's some
You throw the faux hawk in and you're out the door.
Come on.
I'd rather throw cash than my hair.
What are you guys worried about?
You can just style
about?
It
it's
differently.
Gel for one day.
It's not even a haircut. It's just a hairstyle.
Okay, as long as I don't have to have, I'll bet that. But you're going to have to grow yours in.
I just cut mine.
His hair grows like every day.
You're going to have to grow in for the season.
I'm going to have a full beard by tomorrow. Don't worry about it.
He will.
Excellent.
He can have it done for the first Monday after you make that.
What was Frank doing while everybody else has been out working and traveling and sweating in tents? And where were you doing last week?
I was in New York working on stuff.
Oh.
It's interesting stuff.
Secret stuff.
I don't know how secret it was.
I don't think it's very secret, but you're acting like it is.
Didn't you meet with a mutual acquaintance that we had?
So Brian and I are very, very close friends with the crew, the entire crew of Saturday Night Live. We're basically honorary members of the cast.
That's true. Yeah,
they're like, you know how they have like the starring and then they like they have the guest stars who are there for like 10 years as guest stars. We're in some category above that.
Well, if the game wasn't launched on the 25th, you would have hosted that week, right?
No, we met Jason. We both met separately. Jason Sudeikis, right? Yeah. From SNL, and he's an actual Halo fan, so
he's a bungee
it's a pleasure
listener,
talking
podcast
to him.
Listener.
Is he?
Listen to the podcast,
He wants to help
I'm
spread
I'm
it
hoping
around.
Tom Brady listens to the podcast.
Really? Should reach out to him.
You know, actually, Bill Belichick, if you're listening out there, Brady to Moss. That's all I want to hear. All season.
You want him to call that play? Yeah. You want him to just fill a secret playbook with
exactly,
that so that you win?
I'm going to miss the first game. I'm going to be in New Zealand.
That's the only way you can call plays for Randy Moss is just say run straight down the field because he can't run routes.
That's all right. He can catch the ball, though.
That's when he wants to play. Give me Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne any day.
Yeah, I wish we had some Falcons fans in here. It would be easy to own them. But
we could go get Ben Wallace if
Is he? Seriously?
Unfortunately,
I thought he was like Detroit fan.
He got married,
it's
this,
like being
he
the
got
same
married
thing.
This weekend, and his whole family from Atlanta was there. You don't really bring up football.
No, not right now.
It's not a good subject to bring up.
Right now.
You didn't give him a Joey Harrington jersey for his wedding gift?
Anyway,
he's the guy who's got to take over for Michael Vick, Brian.
Back to video games.
Brian, the guy why this whole conversation has started because he's playing Madden, has no idea what football
is. You missed the massive Madden Spectacular a few weeks ago, and Luke camped out all night for it, but we don't need to dredge that up.
Did he?
Untrue.
I
went and picked him up at midnight.
He flips that switch and goes into hardcore pro athlete mode.
None of you guys are local support your local team guys, right? Nobody here is a Seahawks fan.
No, I've been a Colts fan since I was a little kid.
I don't get that. Like, I always, no matter where I move, I support the local team. It's your responsibility and duty as a taxpayer.
I told you how it was weird that we've done all this Halo 3 outreach for, like, a lot of other teams and athletes, but nobody from our own backyard.
Well, we know if we invited them, but you're right. You said we're going to be playing some football players in Halo 3 in a couple of weeks.
We'll save that for a future show, but we are.
Yeah, it should be good.
Over live, right?
Yeah. Randy Moss is going for 90.
So when they can't,
the way you think.
So when they get mad, they can't actually, like, cause us physical
harm. It's not like
harm.
They can. The Wookiee pulling
out. No. We will have some bungee people in their actual households, their personal households. Yeah. And a day, it's like apparently a day after a road game for every team. So apparently they're either going to be really happy or really tired and pissed.
Nice. Exactly. Awesome. And there's nothing more restrained and genteel than an angry linebacker who's being humped on by Luke Smith.
Yeah. I'm going to one of those.
It's gonna end up like that Office linebacker commercial a couple of years ago
with Terry. Whatever.
I remember we had Sean Merriman in here playing, and he was joking, but wicked scary.
It's like he's saying the same crap that we'll say when we're mad, but the difference is
he's giant
as well. Like,
and he can do
palm
it.
Any of us.
So. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. You kind of got a big head.
Yeah, he might not be able to palm me. It's true, but he could still crush my head.
You might need two hands, though.
Yeah. Do we have any reader mail today or anything else to?
Let's see. One of the questions we had from the readers, and I don't remember any of your names, was: will the elites in Halo 3 have active camo when you're playing as an elite in 4-player co-op?
No, not unless you pick it up.
They will not. They will not. The camo is a piece of equipment now, so all players have exactly the same abilities. That was for balance reasons.
Yeah, it feels better anyway. It just feels like you got more control over some of the situation, so I like it that way.
Yeah.
Another more specific question was about what resolutions the game will support in VGA.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's the typical set, right? The 768s and the 1024, 760.
Sure. I believe that.
Yeah. Don't believe everything Frank says. We've learned that
campaign
lesson.
Forge.
Yeah.
I like how Luke is bringing the reader mail right out of his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have it. I had it written down.
He doesn't
down.
Know who they are. Who sent it to him?
Yeah. I had it written down on a sheet of paper, but
this,
I didn't bring it
in. This is an email from Bob from New Jersey. None of that.
Oh, I should don't totally
even,
do that.
Don't even make people feel good that you're actually answering their questions. Just
well, that's like one guy sent a mail today that was like, hey, when you read my question on the show, could you refer to me as this name instead of this name?
What was that? What was the name? Give him a shout out.
Yeah. I don't remember. I forgot.
It was XX something.
Yeah, it was like I something.
Lowercase X, uppercase X.
Was it Red Dog?
No, I haven't heard from that 42. Guy lately. What else has the community been asking about? Sketch,
a lot of people, last week we had that little fake hoax where people thought the game was already shipping to retail.
That's awesome.
Turns out that was actually
the empty cases.
A box of empty promotional units that people were pulling shenanigans.
It looked convincing, though, because they were actually shrink-wrapped, which they are. The empty ones are shrink-wrapped, too.
I thought the thumbs up and look on their faces is what really sold it, though. Yeah. The Italian stalker, when they're all like, hey!
Remember the one with all their gamer tags attached to their picture?
Yeah.
Nice.
Good times.
But apparently no retail people have received any copies of the game. However, I've been warning people that I know that are really interested in not having the game spoiled for them. Inevitably, someone's going to break that date. And if you really don't want to have anything spoiled, you might just want to do a media blackout.
Don't leave your house.
Just do what Paul
for
did.
Anything.
Lock yourself in. Grow your beard out. Don't turn on the TV. Don't turn on the internet. Just
Some of our readers are already doing that. They're just not visiting their usual sites anymore. They're not coming to BNet. They're not going to, they're just avoiding the internet.
That's the best way to promote your website. Just don't go to BNet.
Yeah,
whatever you do, there's...
Do
an
not
amazing
go to
secret
BNet.
On the front page of BNet right now.
Well, but our fans know that we'll never do that ourselves. But you go to our forum, we can't control whether somebody else wants to.
But it's
post,
funny.
So.
It's funny what people think of as spoilers, because I sometimes get mail from people saying like, "Why did you reveal the new grenade?" And it's like it's a plot spoiler, because what they want is to be
the whole game hangs
completely
on.
Surprised. The balance
grenade.
For us is though some people. Won't be interested in the game until they find out if a certain feature is in or, so we have to balance it very carefully.
We could tell everybody right now and have people get excited about it, or we can wait for the first kid that gets a leaked copy to post it on his MySpace page, and now he just stole our thunder. So.
Yeah, it's true.
So what are we going to leak next?
I don't know. I think Paul's leaked a lot earlier. Whether or not you bleep it out is
beep,
up to
beep,
you.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, that's gone.
You guys should get Marty in here, then it'll be a leak fest.
No. We're waiting until
leak
the
fest 2007.
Out.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing
Marty
that depends,
will tell you about
all
our future project plans. And
have you seen Marty since you've been back? He's got his haircut now.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I saw him.
He cut the locks.
He was my inspiration.
He cut the locks now.
Yeah. Does he have a faux hawk?
Marty is, in fact, the wind beneath my wings.
We need to get Marty on a faux hawk bet for sure.
Jonty got his haircut, too. Everyone's getting haircuts.
All spiked up,
too. Jonty actually looked better with the longer hair, though.
You think?
Can I be the first one officially on record of saying that?
I have no feelings about Jonty's attractiveness.
I think Marty also looks better with the mullet as well.
He was supposed to go mullet before he cut it. He said he'd do a two-phase
haircut. He did not.
No, he went straight to the cut.
I think
his wife
Marcy,
shut that down.
I know Marcy. She's very dear to my heart, and I don't think she could have
lasted.
She
won't stand for party in the back at all.
No.
Not a chance.
Because you know what? Marty, honestly, he's no business anywhere. Up front, in the back, nothing.
Soiree on the sides. That's all he's got.
It kind of feels like this is one of our last shows before launch. I think we'll come together at least one more time, perhaps. Yeah, I know we're all getting ready to scatter again.
Yep. Where are you going?
Oh, next week I go to New York. Where are you going?
Were you off to sketch?
Just some more PR events I need to attend to.
Where are you going?
Hot climates.
You going to L.A.?
The opposite of Leipzig. No, I'm not going to L.A.
Going to Australia?
Sketch's trip is so good, he won't even talk about it.
Come on.
I'm going to the GameStop Managers Conference on Monday.
I'll talk about mine.
I'm going to GameStop Managers Conference in Vegas? It's on Monday in Las Vegas.
Nice, that sounds fun.
And those things, I've 4, heard 000, those things are 4,000
managers from around the country where I bring some Halo 3 multiplayer playable. Nice. I may have to pull another sketch trap on their ass.
Yep.
Nice.
We'll see how that goes.
And those GameStop managers are ready to partake.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like.
And then I think Saturday is apparently is the official debut of Master Chief at the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum, also in Las Vegas.
Are you? And that's where you're going to be there for
that as well.
Won't it melt in Las Vegas? Really hot.
You think? I don't know.
I'll be in New Zealand driving the Warthog. I'll make sure.
Paul's, you jerk.
I already have official confirmation that they are gonna, in fact, allow me to drive the Warthog. So
that'll make up for never driving that Mini over in Leipzig.
I know. Yeah.
Make sure you
take
a photo.
That's probably for the best. I never drove that back from the.
Get some photos of you with a big shit eating grin doing donuts in the
yeah.
Warthog.
There'll be plenty of videos. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, because even just like shaky cam videos would be awesome to put up on the
with all the other bunch of guys that are going too.
Speaking of that, we saw the third short.
We did.
Ooh, yeah.
Staten's still out there. I'm gonna have to go get it. Did he show it up on the?
He did on the big projector.
Yeah. He did.
You weren't here for that either.
The third one.
That's, oh, you were that's in part two, right? You were in UK. No, we saw the part three. Oh, part two. Yes, part two. Of the third short. Part two.
Oh, you haven't seen part three?
I saw the one that we just saw over there.
Yeah, it's part three.
I saw that.
That's part two. Oh,
we watched it on this big projector last Friday.
You don't know what you're talking about.
It's pretty awesome.
No, so. Yeah, part two, but it's the third one.
Yes. Yeah. Third and final.
And you guys saw that on the big projector.
That's very confusing math for Frankie.
Wow. Well, it's do you guys have like a long-standing rivalry? Or?
No,
Paul's just a hater. With everyone. It's true.
But wait, why is that, confusing if part two is the third one?
Clearly, it's only confusing to you.
Do you understand why part two is the third one?
Yeah, I do, because the second two parts function as a single story arc. The first thing is sort of like a prologue.
Right, but it's still the third one.
It's like the prologue in the book where the pages are X and I, and then this is like chapter one and two.
It's all semantics.
Well, your semantics are wrong. Hmm. I don't really know what else. I feel like it's time to take a break. Does that sound okay, Brian? You sort of...
Great. Yeah. Hey, why not? Let's do it. You ready to finish this, Luke?
The Bungie Studios podcast is mixed and mastered by Steve Lopez, produced by Tom Giaconda and Chris Gossett, and hosted by Brian Gerard, Frank O'Connor, Luke Smith, and Bungie Studios.